And good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Pharmacy Interoperability and Emerging Therapeutics Task Force. This task force meeting is open to the public, and your comments are welcome in Zoom chat throughout the meeting or during the public comment period that will be held around 11:50 Eastern Time. I'd like to begin roll call of our task force members, so when I call your name, please let us know if you are here. And I'll begin with our co-chairs, Hans Botendijk.
Good morning.
Shelley Spiro.
Good morning.
Pooja Babra.
Good morning.
Chris Blackley. Shai LeBlend. David Butler.
Here.
Steve Eichner. Raj Gavarti.
Good morning.
Jim Jurgis. Summer Kalan. Stephen Lane.
Good morning, present.
Meg Marshall.
Good morning.
Anna McAllister.
Good morning.
Devin McGraw. Thank you, Anna. Devin McGraw. I think Devin's going to be joining us a little bit later. Keaton Mehta. Justin Neal.
Good morning, everyone.
Elia Oliver. Naresh Sundarrajan.
Good morning.
Scott Robertson.
I'm here. Good morning.
Alexis Snyder.
Good morning.
Bill Sutherland.
Good morning.
Christian Tadris.
I'm here too.
Daryl Turney.
Good morning.
And Afton Wagner.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much. And now please join me in welcoming Hans and Shelley for their opening remarks.
Good morning, everybody. Today is our last meeting during which we are going to be looking at the spreadsheets. So that is in many different ways a good thing, I believe. So when we look at the agenda, we'll see that in topic 1, 2, 3, and 4, review of recommendation, that's going to be our aim. And we'll also later on, we'll start to introduce the format in which in the Word document, in the document, we're going to be aiming to run through that. So going to be a big day in that regard. Looking forward to the discussion. Got a number of different updates and appreciate everybody's input. So thank you for joining and looking forward to the meeting. Shelley.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Gosh, our 14th meeting. How wonderful. And we appreciate everybody sticking with us and all of those from the public who have been very religious in joining us every week that we're meeting. So thank you, everyone. Just a reminder to the public, please go ahead and put your comments into the chat. And for our panelists, make sure you put your comments to everyone. And with that, we are going to open up the discussion with our direct-to-consumer prescription services. We don't have a presenter today, but we will be going through this for until probably about 5 minutes to the top of the hour. So let's go ahead. And does anybody need another intro as to what direct-to-consumer prescription services are? If not, we'll just open it up for discussion.
Shelley, this is Anna. If we could do just like a very brief summary, that would be helpful. I've just been away for the past 2.5 weeks and I'm literally just back last night. So,
well, we thank you for joining us and so glad to have you back. You were very much missed. So Trisha Lee, could you provide a little bit of an overview again of what ONC's intent was for this particular topic?
Sure, happy to and welcome back. So when we've been discussing direct to consumer prescription services, we're talking about kind of a catch-all for services where an individual can either go online, download an app, or some other type of electronic means to fill out maybe a template, a questionnaire, sometimes either chatting or actually having a video call or conversation with a physician, maybe a nurse practitioner or other type of clinician. And then based on their reported symptoms or whatever's happening with them, they can receive a prescription that might be mailed to their door or sent to a pharmacy of their choice. We've also noted that there may or may not be lab services that might be involved in there, but this kind of area is growing largely around sexual reproductive health issues and other acute care needs. So hopefully that's a good description for you. Obviously, very similar and related to telemedicine and telehealth services. But this in particular, we wanted to highlight just because of, this is a way to get care and to get prescription services outside the usual PCP paradigm.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Christian has a question or a comment. Raise his hand.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I was late to this call last time and missed that description. Are we considering direct-to-consumer prescription services in the context of the initial prescription for a therapy that might be issued upon a medical exam provided through an internet questionnaire and or telehealth? Or are we also considering, the refill logic around that, where that medical evaluation and establishment of a patient-provider relationship scenario is meeting all the state definitions, and therefore a prescription can be issued? That's one question I have. The second question I have is, the intense regulatory construct around states not allowing this practice of internet questionnaires and minimal evaluation. Are we narrowing the scope down to as per allowed per state law, I guess would be the second part of that question.
Tricia Lee, are you
sure? So I think that we should assume that this is happening legally per state requirements for where prescriptions are being sent. But under that, I think what we're really interested in understanding is there a need for data interoperability, better coordination with other healthcare providers, or anything else ONC should keep on their radar for this growing field? I think that there's certainly going to be a lot of different regulations that a company that's providing these services has to navigate, but we are not in the position to try to reconcile what the different state boards or state laws are allowing. We're just assuming that it's taking place and where it is happening, that patients are getting care through these internet-based or app-based services. What recommendations do you have for ONC for either continuing to monitor the area or do something particularly to help support interoperability?
Okay, just my mind goes to from a construct of, I don't think we want to support simply patients searching out a source for a prescription for a self-defined health need or a self-identified health need. From practice of medicine.
I think we lost Christian for a second. Anybody else have any other comments or questions about this particular topic?
Perhaps maybe one just general comment is that one of the reasons why we wanted to talk about it today a little bit further as well is that we did not have the last time the patient perspective that particularly Anna Alexis provides. So not to put you on the spot, but we want to make sure is that any considerations in this regard from the patient perspective that we had the opportunity to address that as well. So and I see Anna raising her hand.
Thank you, Hans. And again, my apologies that I've been away. So just because I don't want to get territory, which I have done in the past, of making recommendations that are completely out of scope for ONC. I want to make sure I'm understanding what it is we're trying to focus on. Is it purely like the informatics backbone of how to make this work, or is it policy around whether or not it should work?
I think it's the first one, Anna. I think that we certainly can't dictate policy, or ONC can't dictate policy in relationship to, is it right or is it wrong? I think all we can do is leveraging the technology to assure that information blocking, that information is flowing in a way that meets the standards that have been identified for interoperability. I think that should be our number one goal. We could probably make recommendations to dig into this a little bit deeper. I know from a pharmacy perspective, this is it's similar also to a way that digital therapeutics types of software is working also. But what where we see a difference, I guess, is how do we coordinate with primary care, especially for our high-risk patients? We need to make sure that these types of prescriptions are identified in a way that can be shared with the care team and the patient. And what we see with some of these emerging therapies that are out there, therapeutics that are out there, that we have to make sure that they're connected to the entire care of the patient. If we want a person-centric model where information is flowing in an interoperable way between all of these entities. And I assume that's what one of the reasons why ONC is interested in this particular topic, because some of these outside types of processes are not integrated with the total care of the patient.
Right. Right. So, I mean, for instance, I had a situation where I was attempting to get, I was out of state, I was attempting to get like an ADD medication filled. It was complicated, and I did it through telehealth. I tried to do it through telehealth, but it couldn't be filled because it was a telehealth appointment. And that was because of state licensing determinations and like state laws. ONC wouldn't really have any jurisdiction over that. In that case, it was more like a state licensing thing rather than the flow of information, because that provider could see my data from, you know, it was a one medical provider. So like that kind of thing, I presume, is out of scope. What we're talking about is the actual flow of data and information.
Correct. So the situation that you were dealing with was probably for a controlled substance, and there's still some regulatory requirements on telemedicine and telehealth services with controlled substances state by state. So I think that's probably I don't think that this is the same type of thing that we're talking about. This is where the consumer goes to a physician, not connected with that patient's care team. And I think that that's the gist of what, and Tricia Lee, please correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's the gist of what we're trying to get at.
Perfect, thank you, I appreciate that.
And perhaps to take a little bit further, as part of the discussion, if you look at the spreadsheets, Shelley put in a recommendation draft there, and when we get to that, we can dive deeper into it as well. But that essence of where it's possible that data is shared with the rest of the care team, and there were some examples that were being used where such a provider or a pharmacy online service, that they would provide the ability to share the data back with the care team. But that's not universally necessary there, might not use the same standards. So the focus of a general comment recommendation would be that there is a focus on encouraging and enabling that ability. Still within the patient might have a very particular reason why they are doing that and not interested to share it, self-pay, et cetera. But where that can be done, that should be possible to be done.
And I think one other piece that's important that we remember, and maybe for ONC to do some outreach with the National Association of State Boards of Pharmacy, there are organizations out there that are using direct-to-consumer prescription services. There could be, I'm not going to say that there are, but they might not be doing something that is legal. And that is for the state boards of pharmacy to do. When you have a consumer go directly to purchase something online, especially something that is a prescription in the United States, it might be from an out of country. And that's what the state boards or somebody who is trying to do something illicitly, that this is one of the reasons why the state boards need to be involved, because they have a mechanism to assure that all pharmacies in the United States that are in the business of dispensing prescription information have a license, are following all the rules and regulations that are put out by each state board of pharmacy. So I think, I don't know, Christian, if you want to comment on that, since you are a member of a board in Missouri.
Yeah, it's just realization that I think that's succinct. The regulatory constructs here sometimes get in the way of the capabilities. We can do things, and things are happening because of industry pressures or financial pressures or outside actors' interest, and we end up with a situation where the pharmacists and the pharmacies are put at a risk situation, or just actually being driven into a different model with their licenses being on the line, so to speak, from a patient safety observation standpoint, which is their primary role, right? From a regulatory standpoint. So I do think it's recognition that we have to build, talk about our recommendations from the standpoint of what the state authorities grant to the pharmacies to be able to do under their licenses. And that's that dialogue. So just wrapping up my previous comment, our recommendations are not necessarily need to be policy recommendations, but I think we need to build commentary or reference to the concept of prescriptions emanate from a medical engagement of some sort, and they are through the professional engagement with the patient, our bio-licensed practitioner authorized to do that, and that when we write our recommendations, that we don't only write them from the standpoints of a consumer seeking out a drug. We have to use language that says subsequent to medical need scenarios. And that's really where I was going with that is it is, when we say direct to consumer prescription services, it almost sounds like it's all about the prescription and it's all about the patient doing a prescription activity or getting activity. So maybe my angst is more around with the description of direct to consumer prescription services and what that conveys in different settings. So while we're using it here, as long as we're level set on what we're doing, I have no problem with it. I was just a little, it said something different to me when I read it. So I appreciate the conversation. I understand where we're going with this. Thank you.
Any other comments? I know, David, you put some comments in the chat. Did you want to expand on?
That'd be great. Thank you. As everybody knows, we live in a society that believes that the therapies need to be controlled for what anyone receives. We have to recognize that there's a part of the population that also believes that medications should not be controlled, but that practitioners should become advisors to patients and caregivers. While personally, I think that's highly risky, that is somewhat, in my view, that's somewhat of the threads we're headed down. And if that were to happen and that became much more of a commonality, the things I put in the side are what I believe would need to be in place in order to maintain the safety aspect. Efficacy would be important as well, but I think we would need to establish at least a group to begin thinking about how would patients at home in ambulatory situations and other situations, and even more difficult, their caregivers, be able to assess, monitor, and report into a body that could then analyze and aggregate and come back with recommendations for at home or what I would call non-institutional care of any type, personal care, whatever you'd want to call it. So it's a whole new area really for us to be thinking about, but the technology is offering ways for that to happen. And I believe there are people in the population who would like to see that. So and take advantage of it where it can. And I think that's something we do have to consider here. And I come back again to the most important thing to me is monitoring for safety to protect that patient.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, David. And I think you bring up a really good point. Typically, we see this also with over-the-counter herbal medications and others. Especially as pharmacists, we try to make sure that we have all of that information available to us, because anytime a patient is consuming anything, it can affect their medications, especially with patients that are high risk, that we have to do that medication reconciliation evaluation. And if these prescriptions are not part of that loop or aren't identified by the patient helping us with their medication reconciliation in a very honest way, we have, and patients too might have a tendency not to consider that a medication, more like an over-the-counter, oh, I'm taking Tylenol or I'm getting this prescription. And so the aspect of doing drug-drug interactions or looking at potential adverse drug reactions could be a problem. Alexis.
I think you partially made my point. One of my points. The other part I was thinking about when David was speaking and with the concerns and safety is really, I mean, no different than a patient and or caregiver of that patient keeping tabs already on medications that they're taking, even when they're not prescribed direct to consumer, on side effects and how you're feeling and adverse events, et cetera, and reporting that back to your physician. I mean, as you just said, Shelley, sometimes people are not honest about that either, or they're not thinking about it. But I think that maybe if this is some sort of recommendation we build in around safety for the direct to consumer prescribing, that survey that's going out initially certainly could be something that a patient fill out or update again that asks questions about these adverse or side effects or adverse effects of the drug before a refill is allowed.
Thank you. Justin, is there something you put some comments in? Is there something you wanted to say before we move to our topics or recommendations?
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, I was just looking at it from the perspective of the more interoperability of the information being captured by these, I'll say, third-party services or third-party providers outside the regular chain of prescribing, that if it's forced to be not forced, but if there's more interconnection between what they're getting elsewhere and it puts it in the hands of maybe a primary care or somebody else, it does provide, I think, a little bit more, I guess, regulation of it inadvertently, much like a PMP does for controls, where someone could be essentially doctor shopping. So I think the services, from what my understanding are, do normally collect information about adverse events and other information, that if that's being shared back as part of a standard, that if you're going to have this direct-to-consumer, largely patient-driven intervention, that it's very important that it is fed back to a common ability to feed that back to other providers. I think it would almost put more sunlight on the entire part of this practice that's relatively new to the field.
Thanks for explaining that. Anna, is there something you wanted to say just for the last few minutes? I'm not familiar with Dime Impact. I don't, maybe you can.
Sure. So the Digital Medicine Society, which is, you know, working on different aspects of digital therapeutics and digital biomarkers, they created, partnered with the American Telemedicine Association. Gosh, I guess it's been a couple of years ago, and started a group called IMPACT, and it's an acronym that stands for something. I don't know what it is, but essentially it's all the virtual, it's a trade group for virtual first care companies. And I'm one of the founding members, you know, just as a patient representative, because I know all the people involved with it, the founders. And I mean, I haven't been involved in everything they've done, but they've created a number of different work streams where they've put together standards and recommendations for companies in the space, for insurers who are considering funding, you know, paying for services in this space about what good care looks like. I do know that data and interoperability has been part of a number of those recommendations, but I can't, I mean, especially with vacation brain, I can't speak with great certainty on exactly what they've done, but it might be worth reaching out to Impact and Jen Goldsack, who is the, I think she's president or CEO of Dime, would be an excellent person to have involved, or one of her team members. Their perspective just might be helpful, or some of the members that are involved, because data and, you know, access to data and making sure that there is a proper handoff between sort of the bricks and mortar healthcare system and these virtual first or virtual only care providers is something that's very important.
Well, it sounds like that's in the form of a good recommendation. Anna, would you be willing to go ahead and put that in?
Sure. Put that into what? Into the spreadsheet? Or reach
out? I don't know, Hans, how you want to work on this. We're at the time now that we're going to start working on the...
I think there are two options there. One is that if before or while during the meeting, you have a chance to put something in tab of topic four, that would be great. If not, wait until the document comes out, because then it's easier to do it right there. And then we know it's coming, but then it's easier to do it right there.
Okay. I can reach out to them. I mean, and, you know, I don't want to be, I'm here, I'm a member of HITECH and, you know, the steering committee for Dime as a patient representative. So I don't want to be like making any recommendations from the perspective of industry, but I do know that they've given them, you know, these things significant thought, and it might be helpful. So I'm happy to reach out to them, get up to speed specifically on what they've done in this issue, and try to incorporate some of that feedback if that would be helpful.
Yeah, I think from a timeline perspective, we are trying to get everything into a document tomorrow, and that between now and next week, that we really focus on cleaning that up and with any comments that task force members have. So that starting next week, we're really going to go down to the final I's and T's crossing, getting the nuances clear, et cetera. So we're trying to avoid past at that point to have new recommendations come in. So if that still works over the next 1 or 2 days, that would be great. Otherwise, it's going to be challenging to get it in.
Sure. Okay.
And Anna, if you can, if you could just send Hans and myself your recommendation in email, we could go ahead and put it in the, if you're having difficulty getting it into the spreadsheet in the next day or two.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Hans, I think in Excel team, I think we're going on to our
next topic
1, 2, 3, 4 review and recommendations.
Yep. All right. So what we will do is that, again, our goal today is that in the respective columns of that are marked with final recommendations, that we're going to try to get everything green. Now, we might not quite make it, but that's the goal. So that when tomorrow the document is going to come out, I think it's going to be a Google document that then everybody can review, put their comments in that are marked up, easier to do than the spreadsheet, that we can use that between now and next week to get down to starting the final reviews and making sure that everything is in the right spot. Later, we will have a quick look at the last topic of the agenda, what that document roughly is going to look like, so that that you have a good idea what to expect. So, but today we're just going to go back to the spreadsheet, which means I'm going to share my screen or that particular spreadsheet. And I would like to ask that everybody stays out of column E on the topic one recommendation, column F for topic two, and then we'll move on to three. And similarly, to make sure that we don't try to overlap our thoughts. If you have anything that you say, like we did last week, that there is a rephrasing or a suggestion you would like to make, look to the right in column F or G or somewhere there to the right and put the comment there or the suggestion there that we then can copy while we talk or after the session. If it's correct, you should see my screen popping up, and we need to make sure that it's the right size. I'll open up this one for just testing that out. How readable is it? Should I make it larger or is it fine?
I can't read it. It's way too.
We'll go this way. Is this making it better? Or should I go a little bit further?
It's better. It's better, Hans. Okay.
Then we're going to go next.
Maybe just a little bit larger. I don't know if you can. That's better. Great. That's great.
That's great.
At least for me. I don't know how others are.
Anybody else? Is this working? All right. So this first one, we have everything green, so we're not going to stop there. Second one is that we were looking at R11. We had a couple of notes that were that we want to make sure we had. The first one is that there might be some better terminology rather than reasonably. So in this statement here, we have the term reasonably available. And curious, Alexis, whether you had a chance to look at a better term or whether this is in light of the rest of the statements that we are okay with that.
Yeah, no, I'm not okay with reasonably. I'm not sure if I have a substitute right this minute. I can think about that for you. But I was just trying to make a point. I think that, you know, reasonably isn't a definitive time period. So what one person may think 2 days is reasonable, the pharmacist may think a week is reasonable. So just using that word reasonable, I don't think is going to solve this problem for this recommendation.
But what perhaps then would suggest is that we, unless you have something before the end of the meeting, that we are going to, as part of the fine tuning of the document, see whether we can tailor that a little bit further. But that for today, we're going to start with this. And then in the document, we're going to do the final tuning there. Is that?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I guess the only other thing I would add is that perhaps we think about a defining a period of time, right? Like, you know, no longer than 48 hours or 3 days or something to that amend. Otherwise, the recommendation really isn't helpful for patients and caregivers because the timeline can be much longer than a patient would like.
And perhaps is that that could also be addressed by indicating in a recommendation somewhere to say is that part of this recommendation is to define what is reasonable so that we don't have to do it and come up with what that is, but that we recognize it must be defined so that it's not not too open for interpretation once this capability has been put in place.
So, makes sense.
Actually, Hans did. That's what I was going to say is I think we just say that it's defined because I know in some rulemaking, right, you know, there's some things like with prior auth, urgent requests and things like that in a certain time period, but I don't think we can actually define the time period, but I think we suggest that the time period gets defined in some kind of additional either rulemaking or something else.
I was just going to see whether this then along those lines would do it for today that I just put in there. And then we can wordsmith that for. Would that work?
Scott recommended appropriate. I don't know if that's
I think that's the same issue as reasonable, right? It's like what is appropriate to one person is different to another.
Yes, but again, it has to be determined by the situation. And so just calling out a time frame might not be, and that's really not what ONC can recommend in terms, because you have other issues, state board regulations. I mean, we would want everything to be real time, but it's right. Not.
I think it makes sense what Hans was suggesting, putting in wording about defining it.
Yeah, so what I would suggest for today is that we know that we have a little bit of work to do to clarify that and put in that it needs to be defined, but we don't know what it is right now. And that we then move on to the other parts. Otherwise, we will not get through the rest of the recommendations for today. But we know that
I'll just super, Hans, I'll just super quickly say I completely agree with Alexis's concerns, and I'm glad that we're okay. Taking that into consideration. I just think maybe what we should do is give ONC guidance on the process for determining that, and make sure that that process includes patients who would be impacted.
Yeah, if you can put perhaps a couple of thoughts together on how to phrase that, a sentence to add to it, that would be great, and then we can put that in. That need not be done today, but that we can then do as part of completing the document itself.
I will do that. And Alexis, please chime in if what I say is not cool.
And the second part was here that there was a comment that this is a bit of a long sentence. So I took a stab at how to split it up a little bit. I managed to get it from one into two, I think. Maybe we can still do it in three. But if you can have a look at whether this is a reasonable start, and then again, the rest will be done by way of fine-tuning as we go through the document itself, not in the spreadsheet anymore. And then this would go. Yeah, so
I think that makes sense. I think it looks good, and I think we can wordsmith it later on the doc.
Okay. Anybody else? If not, then is there any further concerns turning this green for today and with every opportunity for fine-tuning? If not, I think I finally figured out that I might just as well turn it green and then deal with the rest later, as if there's strike through.
You might want to keep the red, though.
Well, if it's strike through, then I'll just have to take it out. I think that's the only thing I have to do.
Okay.
Okay, then we got that. Great. Next one done. We did have a comment that there was an opportunity maybe for a new recommendation for reallocation. We have not seen anything today, so we're going to skip this. But if that still comes along between now and the next couple of days, then we can still consider that. But otherwise, we did not receive anything on this. That means just that I'm just not going to be, as last week I noticed that I didn't do that, go definitely down to the bottom of each cell, because in one of the next ones is where we missed one that was actually already ready for review. And that's happening here. So we have two ones in this cell that we need to look at. R6, we went through this. We had a follow-up that Christian was going to look at. From that is that we have this updated version of the recommendation where we are adding to include measurement systems and then add additional language to a little bit better clarify what the focus of the measures should be about. So the question here is that does this address the clarity that we were seeking, and would everybody then accept that as a recommendation we want to move forward with? Recommend that ONC work with the public health organizations, including CDC and STILTS, to create a set of metrics, measurement systems, and outcome measures specifically addressing identification of gaps and advances in exchange of critical data between pharmacists, capturing clinical data related to immunizations, medications, treatments, prescribed, dispensed, administered, e.g. antibiotics, antivirals, and related public health medications. Let's put some commas in, spaces in there. And case reporting identified during the pharmacist's encounters. The measures should align with principles of measurement science, specifically around feasibility, the ability to readily capture data from the level of analysis. Additionally, the measures should improve the quintuple aim, safety, outcomes, cost, health equity, burnout, and be able and with the focus on the measured entity, pharmacy, health plan, hospital, et cetera, have the ability to improve the measures.
Scott?
Yeah, I'm not sure. The ability to readily capture data from the level of analysis, the from doesn't sound right. It may be appropriate to the level of analysis, unless this is a phrase that's from measurement science.
I don't think so, Scott. That was my verbiage. So.
Oh, okay.
Recommendation sounds better.
Readily capture data appropriate to the level of analysis.
Christian, would that work?
Yeah, I agree with Scott. That's just wordsmithing, and that's appropriate.
Okay, other comments? Okay, with that, can I turn this green up to this point, and then the other notes, they can be dropped? If no concerns, I'm going to go ahead with that. So that's the next one. I'm going to remove these comments from here to, I'm going to put them somewhere because we don't want to lose it. I will drop them in the column to the left. And that was our, some number, 12, okay. I think.
Was it our
16? I think so. We just I'll clean that up so that we'll fix the reference R6. I just had too many ones in there. Okay, next one. That's what confused me because we're now jumping to R34. This one was put in before last week, but it said at the bottom of the cell, pulled it up. This was a recommendation by David. Have a look at that. Recommend that ONC, in collaboration with the FDA, provide guidelines to provide further advanced transparency as part of the proposed decision support intervention certification criterion in the proposed HTI-1 rule that are needed to ensure greater clarity on authority, delegation of authority, responsibility, review procedures regarding future machine learning, software, hardware, data set combinations that achieve artificial intelligence levels capable of self-initiative, self-management, and self-control within practice settings overseen by local and state regulatory authorities. And the rationale indicates that as these advance, ONC should work closely with the FDA on how to manage these technologies that have those abilities. And then, for example, may require ongoing clinical trials, self-learning technology will be included in comparative randomized clinical trial, et cetera. And once FDA approved, software hardware combination will be licensed. So to further identify insight, transparency, quality, et cetera. David, anything to add while others are reading this, and whether this was a combination of what you wrote and a couple of tweaks to it, so intent was to still capture that.
One thing to start off, the bad grammar at the beginning, if you could get rid of that second provide.
This one here?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Can do that. That's easy. Anybody, any other comments? If not, is anybody objecting to me turning this green?
And just a reminder, when we turn it to green, that means that we're putting it into the Google Doc that will be easier for us to edit.
Yep. Okay, so. Let's check where there's anything else that, unlike last time, that I'm not going to get that. Okay, we are on to R17. R17 is had a couple of adjustments to this. I'm not sure. I didn't check whether Devin is already online or not.
Devin is on. Yeah. Devin is here.
Okay. Because we needed to check with her a little bit. So we now have it stated, recommend that ONC collaborates with the pharmacies and other providers, provider communities or providers community, including their HIT vendors, to establish appropriate reporting mechanisms directly from the pharmacy to the care team members and vice versa, i.e. enable bidirectional push messaging rather than solely relying on respective queries for information. For example, ADT messages upon discharge, results availability, administration of a drug, fill status on a prescription when filled. And so the question is that I believe that it addressed Devin's question.
No, definitely. Before it didn't have a verb.
Okay.
Yes. Looks good.
Not verb. And with that, do we have then a recommendation that is readable, complete, and acceptable? Not hearing anybody?
Yeah, looks good.
And this one...
That looks really good. Thank you.
And this one will go green up to that point. The rest is just commentary to get it in the right spot. Wrong green. Oh, well, that's green. Sorry for everybody else. There we go. Let's see if there's anything else. I don't think so. Nope. R18. We had a follow-up, and I'm not sure whether Ike was able to join.
No, he's not on.
Okay. We had a discussion around here whether this requires additional clarification, perhaps a separate recommendation. I did reach out to Ike. I have not heard back yet. So what I would suggest is that we see whether this, as it stands, that for everybody is okay or not, and then adjust it. But then we'll follow up as we get in the Word document that we may need to tweak this a little bit more. But does anybody have a concern here where we are stating recommend that ONC collaborates with pharmacists, other providers, clinical data registries, including IAS registries, and public agencies, including the CDC and STILS, to identify a minimum data set within USCDI that pharmacists must be able to exchange with IAS registries, EHRs, and possibly other pharmacy information systems, considering the various roles that pharmacists may have in the test-to-treat process. The scope should consider not only prescription-related data, but also any non-prescription-related data where the pharmacist provides test-to-treat services, such as assessments, tests, treatment, and or advice rendered. With the rationale that we have talked about quite a bit. Any concerns? While recognizing that when we reconnect with Ike, we might have a couple of adjustments there to consider. Not hearing any, then this one is going to turn green.
I think Melissa had said that either IIS or immunization registry.
Yeah, you don't need both.
Where do we have that? Where do we?
I think it's in the first
top line.
Top line. So maybe instead of IIS registry, maybe it's immunization registry. Is that what people are saying?
Yeah, because we talked about clinical data registries that is not only IIS or immunization, but there are other ones as well. But we want to make sure that IIS or, but we can say immunization registries and do it like that if that makes it easier.
That actually, it's a good point. I mean, there are other registries that pharmacies may need to contribute to.
Right. Keep it
broad might make more sense.
That's why we did this, but we want to make sure that nobody got confused that that would possibly not include immunization, but that they were in there.
And then there was another recommendation about have ability to access instead of need access. Not sure where it's at though. Scott, did you wanted to say something while Hans is looking for that?
Yeah, there's another reference to IAS registry just about in the middle of the
The third line down.
Is that
maybe that be immunization?
Well, here it can then be clinical data registries.
I think that was clinical data registries because it's
And where does anybody know where the need where? So that was Suzanne. Where did you see that?
Must be able to
under rationale.
Which line, Suzanne?
Actually, pharmacists need the ability to access health records, I think might be where she's doing it. I'm sorry, I'm speaking for you, Suzanne. I'll let you.
Right there.
Is that good, Suzanne? Yes, she said, thanks, Scott. Okay.
Great. Great. Okie-do. Anything else?
Doesn't look like there's anything in the chat. Oh,
no. I think particular should be particularly, sorry, particularly during emergencies in the first sentence in the rationale.
Oh, is it there too? Okay. Excess, and there needs to be space here, particularly there as well. And we have, I also fixed it in the one here. Thanks, Afton.
Stephen, you said, why don't you comment on what you said?
Oh, we were just trying to figure out how to phrase things to be inclusive. And I thought we might try to use language like IIS and other relevant clinical registries in some of these recommendations.
So we'll do it like this and other, and then drop the parentheses.
Yeah. I think that might be
okay. Clear. And then can we leave it here as just clinical data registries to avoid repeating the entire string? Is that acceptable?
Makes sense.
And then just say here, exchange with relevance. Okay, no. Any other things that we need to do today? And certainly these kind of adjustments as we get into the Word document, as a Google document, they certainly over the next week are going to be absolutely welcome. That's what we're looking for, to make these kind of clarifications. So I could make it greener, but it sounds like that we have it over the today's finish line. Anything else in here?
No other comments. Let's move on.
Okay, let's move on then. Just double checking that there's nothing else in this cell. Definitely nothing there. We are at 22, and after just double checking this one, nope. 22. Recommend that ONC collaborate with the pharmacy community, patients, and caregivers to develop guidance on best practices for data capture from patients in pharmacies. Rationale, there is information that might not be available for other data sources. Pharmacists in their interaction might be the ideal in-person contact at that time to provide, solicit that information. And are there better guidance to help enhance that or other capabilities? Any further discussion here? This was where we left it off pretty much last week. Not hearing any. This is going to go green. That should bring us to the last one on topic one. That is in here. We had a fair amount of discussion around the ability to enable data access within the appropriate privacy policies and patient consent, and particularly patient consent directives, which got us talking about, well, then we need to be able to evaluate that. This recommendation is focusing on what is needed to help further move that forward. We have not really talked about the details here, so this we need to carefully look through, see what makes sense and what we need to drop or modify. Currently states recommend that ONC advances the necessary efforts to establish a national privacy policy and patient consent directives management infrastructure beyond establishing privacy policy and patient consent directives tagging standards that support the documentation and management of computable privacy rules and patient consent directives, enabling consistent evaluation and application of these policies as data is being requested and pushed regardless of interoperability method used. Probably want to drop it, put it in multiple sentences, but let's keep on going. ONC should consider collaboration with organizations such as ARPA-H in combination with HL7 Accelerator, SHIFT, and Stewards of Change for this complex and critical capability. This capability should be a shared capability across all interoperability parties, including pharmacies and pharmacists, as this must be consistently managed regardless of setting. ONC should consider the role of TEF, Trusted Exchange Framework, as a critical component of this infrastructure. And then the rationale is summarizing the discussions that we have generally. Any thoughts around this of adding, subtracting, modifying to have this in place? Devin.
Yeah, apologies for, I think I might have missed the day when this was initially brought up or discussed. The idea that we would have a single national infrastructure for consent registry is a pretty big idea and concept that my gut says needs a bit further exploration before just a flat out like ONC should advance this kind of a recommendation. We're having this discussion in California, and it is very complicated given that consents are often done very contextually, very situationally, responding to a lot of different ways that the law requires the consent to be, much less internal policies around consent. And so there's just a lot to this. It doesn't necessarily mean that it wouldn't be a valuable thing to explore. And so my sense is that I'd feel more comfortable if it should explore, actively explore, even like setting up even a different task group to dive into this in more detail. But I feel like it's premature to say, oh, ONC, go do what you is within your authorities to advance this, when I think it's a little underexplored by this group.
Fair point.
Pooja?
Yeah, I totally agree with Devin. I think there's a lot of just activity around this. So I would recommend that we honestly take out establish the National Privacy Policy and Patient Consent Directive infrastructure and leave it at, ONC and, follow, like start to Devin's point, right? Like, I think this needs a bigger effort than just us saying this is what they should create, because there's, FAST has now put out something to create something. I know there's efforts. You've got a couple of them here, Stewards of Change. I noticed Stephen added in the chat too, but I just think this is bigger and I'm not ready to make this kind of directive recommendation like this. So totally agree with Devin on this one.
Stephen?
Yeah, and I'll just pile on. I think it is good for us to recommend continued work and focus in this area. As I mentioned, we touched on this in our HTI1 task force recommendations as well. We might want to go back and look at how that was phrased there. But yeah, we're not ready to sort of declare, that ONC should just go do this. I just wanted to agree as well. Also commenting that Sequoia Project is going to be launching probably a long-standing privacy and consent work group in the first of the year. And that if we do have a listing of folks with whom there should be collaboration, we should include that one.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. Also, there's some work that's being done on personal preferences, and some of the personal preferences, such as software like AD Vault, that are looking at combining advanced directives, consents, and personal preferences, are emerging ways to capture this information, but overseen by the patient. Anna.
I just wanted to agree with everybody and just officially on the record provide a quote unquote patient voice. I think this is important. We need to take this on, but doing it quickly without considered thought could create more barriers to information exchange than might be anticipated. So, and I don't think that's the best thing for patients. So I just completely agree with what's been said. It'd be interesting to see what Sequoia and the Sequoia Project work group takes on and thinks through, because they've done a lot of great work on different types of trusted exchange things, as we all know. So, if we act hastily or make hasty recommendations, there may be ramifications that are unanticipated.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts. Completely agree that the term advances is too strong for where we're at. That very comfortable with changing it to actively explore. I would have a concern if we are not referencing in some fashion the concept or the need for infrastructure. It need not, and in the sense that that need not mean that there is a singular place where things are kept, but that the infrastructure enables that everybody who needs to know appropriately what the consent directives, what the policies are for a given patient, for a given jurisdiction, that we need to have a way for the appropriate parties to figure out where that is. And that is not just a standards issue. That's also a how do I communicate that across the parties, which has some form of infrastructure that I can do that, that enables that. So from that perspective, I would be actually uncomfortable removing the concept of infrastructure. There might be a better word, but currently the standards as defined are insufficient to actually achieve and say that, hey, go implement, if you will, go implement the standards. It wouldn't get us to the end point that we are looking for. There's something else that is that's different than standards that we need. So the question is, how can we express that?
So I think that Devin has said that we take out national and replace it with interoperable.
That's a good way of...
And then Scott has a comment.
Maybe move the word infrastructure up. So it's actively explored the infrastructure needs for an interoperable privacy policy. Because it, when I read it, I know it's not the intent, but I read consent directive of management infrastructure as one thing.
Yeah.
And
it's good.
And then I think that makes sense. That's helpful. And Devin, I think you had maybe a couple of other things that you were thinking of that could help modify and enhance this. So,
no, the only I had suggested them in the chat, and they've and Shelley raised them. So I think they. I also wonder whether the specificity around collaboration with ARPA-H in combination with an HL7 accelerator is a little bit too directive at this stage. Could consider. As part of this exploration, ONC could consider collaboration. I almost think there's more work even for the high tech to do on this versus being this directive to them at this stage. That's all.
So this maybe then I'll just put this here, is that in between the little bracket for the moment, list of example parties. And we need to, because Stephen also mentioned there's probably a couple of other ones out there that, and that should be just a listing, nothing more than that at the best.
Yeah, I just wonder whether, again, if we think this is a not quite fully advanced idea, that there's more to this, then why would we be so directed? I mean, we could consider this to be, we're just toss it over to ONC and see what they do with it versus inviting sort of further exploration, even with high tech on this issue. And maybe that's a little bit, that's more specific versus considering this to be our only shot at this. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, if you could,
that's a suggestion also, because there are a number of us, although not all of us, that are on the high tech, but it just, right, just feels like it just needs a lot more digging.
Just one quick question, just to make sure I got Devin's suggestion correct. So Devin, if this would say including high tech and then drop the rest, and then we just one like that. Okay. Sorry, Pooja, go ahead.
No, go. So we, as part of a listening session at HIMSS that Stewart the Change hosted, and we actually came out of that with some language that was very general for ONC about, you know, kind of doing some research, looking at pilots that have been going on. I'm happy to, I can put it in the draft recommendation, the language we use, so we can look at that as a possibility. Because I think to Devin's point, right, I think when I read this, it's very still kind of narrow, whereas the language we ended up with was very kind of, hey, ONC, there's a lot of work here. We know it needs to be solved. We're we know that you need to do some research, and kept it very general. So I'm happy to add that in here for us to review for the next time.
Okay, yeah, if you could do that, and then maybe after, once we complete this discussion, maybe there are a couple of people that are offline willing to put something more together. We'll have a spot somewhere in the document, but we know that we need to do a little bit more work to clean that up before next discussion.
David.
I just wanted to jump in and say I was agreeing with Devin. And what occurs to me is what is our focus here on this? It seems very broad. And the example that came to my mind was having worked with some of the companies that were doing both GDPR requirements and the HIPAA requirements, is that in effect, you can build out an easy relational database that will allow each patient to pick who's allowed to see what in their records. But that opens itself up to abuse potential in the sense that it could be a patient who says, I don't want this practitioner seeing this today, or I want my records completely removed today, and then tomorrow want it back. And a lot of this, the impact on providers and on organizations and on the patient themselves have to be part of this exploration. And what I'm seeing here could address that, but it just seems very vague and nebulous. And it seems to me we need more examples of what we're recommending here.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Nothing in the chat, nothing, no hands raised.
So what I get the sense of, and perhaps between Pooja, Devin, myself, if we go back and forth on a couple of suggested enhancements here to address the concerns raised, and that would be great. Would that make sense? Is there anybody else that would like to be part of that email exchange that we're going to have?
And it'll definitely be available. I mean, people will have a chance to also look at it if they're not necessarily part of the email exchange.
Because it will come back in. We put it in the document and then everybody can. But if we have an opportunity over the next couple of days to come up with something there, then that can go straight into the document. Okay, so definitely not.
I was just going to say, I don't need to be part of the email chain, but if any of you on it think that my perspective would be helpful to chime in, just let me know.
Okay, we'll add you in. And I see that Scott, you're sitting on that cell as well. Just be careful. Hopefully you did not add anything. But this will then go into that part. That actually got us to the bottom of the topic one, and we're going to go to topic two. And in topic two, we have, we're now looking at column F. I'm going to shrink this a little bit to the left, and I believe, and tell me again whether this is proper size or does that work?
Well, open up the cell and let's see.
Yeah, I need to move it a little bit over here to get the full cell. Like that. Does that work?
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm.
Okie doke. All right, so now we are looking at the recommendations that as we were going through use cases and different contexts that went through. Recommendation number 24 that we have. Recommend that ONC pursues a set of standards, technologies, and frameworks to advance interoperability with and among pharmacies and pharmacists that is common with the provider community that's being deployed through ONC certification program in collaboration with CDC and deployment of the Trusted Exchange Framework. I'm wondering whether the last part in collaboration with, whether that is needed, et cetera, whether the period can just stop right where my cursor is right now. Any comments on this in addition to that suggestion to drop this part? So that seems to be
Not seeing anything.
You're not seeing anything?
Not seeing any comments coming through the chat or through hand raised.
with that adjustment and the rationale. Any additional comments?
Let's make it green.
Okay, no further comments. As I'm making it green, there we go.
We got one from Scott. Was this about this one?
I'm just pointing out that Kathy Graff put a comment in about whether it's among pharmacies and pharmacists, or if we take out pharmacies.
Great, thank you. Thoughts? Do we believe that this needs to be specifically focused on pharmacists, or that there are aspects in here that would apply to the pharmacy?
We didn't ever come to decision about when we say pharmacy, when we say pharmacist, and when we say both. I don't think we did. I know we've discussed it a couple of times, but yeah, we don't have like a, forgive me, standard for.
Yeah, we did not come to a singular way. There are some recommendations where we need to address one, the other, or both. So I believe that we need to evaluate for each recommendation. Is this truly about the pharmacist only? Is it the pharmacies because of the nature of the topic, or is it both because both are in play?
And Kathy also brought up licensed pharmacy technicians, which I don't want to put a whole other category, but pharmacies would cover that.
Would pharmacies cover that, or okay?
I think pharmacies would cover that as a.
We then have to go back to some of the other ones and make sure that then pharmacies are included where we might have dropped them, because we're talking pharmacists specifically. But if we need to include licensed pharmacy technicians, then we would have to add that back. Christian.
Yeah, thank you, Hans. It's just more of a question mark. If we get granular around these roles in pharmacies do have other support personnel that have authorities and engagement. When we think about public health, for example, community health workers are embedding in pharmacies these days as well. Now they're outside the general oversight of pharmacy boards, but they're increasingly going to be authorized to do things that are in the public health space and interfacing with public health referrals, assessments, things like that. I only say that to say, if we're not going to keep it at a high level, say pharmacies, that's fine, but we might want to conceptually consider that it may not be a pharmacy technician in the primary role or a pharmacist in the primary role, because the healthcare team in a pharmacy may include either health professionals such as nursing, or it could also involve some of these public health entity type of roles. So that was my only comment.
Yeah, and David's comment here is the pharmacists are the authority and the pharmacies are the facility. So it should be included for the specific needs. So it sounds like that we generally say, based on the combination, that we at this point in time, we keep it in. But we need to carefully look at all the recommendations that, based on this context, are we talking about the pharmacies, the facility? Are we wanting to include other authorized staff as well beyond the pharmacist, that we include one, the other, or both? And we can do that as we everybody reviews the final recommendations as we move into the document stage.
I'd like to say one thing on that. A pharmacist can put up a shingle and do their own work, whereas a pharmacy technician can't do that. They have to be in conjunction with others. And that's why I think it's appropriate pharmacies and pharmacists.
Okay. Not hearing any to say common within. If we can capture that note, then we'll pick that up as part of further editing. All right. Any other comments from the task force members? If not, then at that point in time, we are going to go green here and we'll do the further refinements in the documents. Next one. And I'm also looking at the clock. I think I have one more minute.
We've got 5 minutes till public comment.
R25. recommend that ONC identifies the needs and capabilities relevant to the pharmacy versus the pharmacist as it identifies opportunities for advancing interoperability. And this goes to that similar point where this is now being calling it out more specifically. Any comments, thoughts, adjustments? If not, not hearing anything, this is going to go green, minus the last period here.
David has a comment.
David has a comment, sorry.
All right, I appreciate it. That I'm unclear what pharmacy as an organization is describing. What is organization describing with regard to clinical workflows, clinical practice? As an organization, I think of a professional association.
Maybe we say entity instead of organization. Would that help?
I would think so. I still just view the pharmacy. I mean, I don't know if we're using pharmacy here as the profession or if we're using pharmacy here as the facility.
And facility can be used for the physical building or organization. And sometimes that gets confusing. So I think that's why we put in organization to be clear that facility is not interpreted as the building.
And that's where I'm unclear. What is pharmacy as an organization? I need an example.
That will be the organization like CVS, yeah. Community Pharmacy, whomever.
Those are corporations.
Those are types of organizations then.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's the confusing part. Businesses. Yeah, maybe, or we could say business or entity.
Or taxable organization or something, because it's not, yeah, business entity works.
Okay, and we'll go back through and make sure that that's clear.
And this also, just the other concern here is that nags me is when you look at those corporations, those business entities, a significant part of their business from a revenue viewpoint, an operational viewpoint, has nothing to do with pharmacy. They're selling all kinds of goods. It's the out front area versus the pharmacy area. So are we also talking about addressing those issues within the Walmart or the CVS that is selling the candy and the tools?
Well, we are only looking at the pharmacy as the business unit entity organization that is managing and pulling together the pharmacy related capabilities, the inventory, the staffing, the pharmacists, et cetera, in that role, as that's the unit that is pulling that together. We're not gonna go to the candy store.
So then maybe to borrow from HIPAA wording on this, this could be the pharmacy department as a component of a hybrid business entity or a hybrid entity, which is how HIPAA refers to the healthcare practice in pharmacy as a hybrid entity. And HIPAA requirements separate the data on the pharmacy side from the rest of the business.
Yeah, the question is, to what extent do we need to refine that or understand that a business entity can be has sub entities, et cetera. It's not always a department. It might just do the pharmacy. So perhaps that we can fine tune this a little bit more to make sure as we progress. But we have to be careful that we are not going to then create a very large statement of pharmacy that could be a department or could be the organization, could be the corporation. So if there's an opportunity to keep that shorter, that would be great. Can you provide or as follow-up, look at how we can do that in a way that is concise and that we can define at once, and then we can use the term pharmacy throughout the rest of the document in that fashion?
I would be glad to. I'm just judging that maybe what I would be saying would be too restrictive, so I would welcome somebody else looking at what I put in.
Let's go ahead and go to public comment. We can come back to this.
Yeah, and I would suggest that we come back to it as part of then refining the documentation, not for today, but as part of the next couple of discussions and meetings to do that, considering also Devin's comment as well, that we do it at the top, not inside each recommendation.
Great. Mike?
All right. Thank you, everybody. We're going to open up our meeting for a verbal public comment. If you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be just on the phone only, press star 9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's pause just for a moment or two to see if any members of the public would like to make a comment. And I'm not seeing any hands raised yet, so I'll turn it back to our co-chairs. Thank you.
All right, we'll go back to the screen. We'll go for another 5 minutes through the, somebody else just, I think I'm not able to do this. There we go. So we go for another 5 minutes so that we have the last 5 minutes to look at the document that we have started to work on to get a sense of the outline, how it flows, and where therefore these ones are going to come in. So let's see how far we can get. R26, recommend that ONC include the pharmacy community in the advancement of patient matching in general and record in particular, and then have need to have a comma here, in particular, advancing pharmacies' ability to link patients to the right records. This done in light of that probably would be pharmacists, correct? Or do we say pharmacies because that includes other staff as well, like licensed technicians, et cetera? Which one should we use? Pharmacies overall, encompasses everybody, or pharmacists? Any comments, thoughts?
We're hearing pharmacies, and at least in the chat from Scott, because it would include all staff. It's really the vendor has to help with that. And so that's contracted with the pharmacy, not necessarily the pharmacist, unless it's just pharmacist clinical software.
So it's probably a combination.
Yeah. I think we can discuss this maybe when we have a discussion. Scott, you have a comment? A couple of minutes.
It says, and record location services. While I think that might be good, it doesn't seem to fit with patient linking the patients to the right records.
Perhaps, but at the same time, is that we're doing patient matching in part that if the pharmacist needs to get access to patient data, that they need to get that information from the right care team members. Where are they for the right patients, the matching? So it seems to always go together that we're
okay. Matching
a complete, complete record can be distributed.
Okay, then I'm... Then actually, it's not flowing in my mind well when I read this. So the in general might be unnecessary. Advancement of patient matching and record location services within.
And just for this one red, that would be the suggestion there. Strike it out. And then the other
within
one.
Within TEF in particular.
And that.
Actually, you know, maybe put a comma after services.
David has a recommendation. Okay. In order to provide pharmacists the needed information for improving patient care.
That's a great suggestion to add. I don't think I can copy it and drop it in. Let me try.
I could read it and then you could type it.
Yeah, or we can add it. Nope, definitely didn't work.
Okay. So in order to provide, just I would type it anywhere, in order to provide pharmacists the needed information for improving patient care. I don't think you spelled needed right.
Yeah. So we'll add that to the sentence. Any concerns with that? We'll do the wordsmithing to put it correctly in.
I think Pooja has her hand up.
And yeah, I'll be quick. Yeah, I'm just struggling with the include the pharmacy community in the advancement. I mean, I'm not quite sure what we're asking OMC to do here.
Well, I think in the past, Pooja, that a lot of the, I know that we need to engage pharmacists more in a lot of the talks that are happening nationally in relationship to patient matching.
Right. Okay. Okay.
I think that's the intent.
That's the intent. Okay. Okay.
Okay. With that, do we think that we are down to wordsmithing and we can turn it green otherwise?
So should we add that? Maybe that's the word that's missing here then in the advancement of patient matching discussions, or, I mean, I don't know, put it in red. Maybe I'll revisit it, but.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think we need to go to our.
Yeah. So
let's working plan. Work plan.
Yep. So just want to see, can we, with that we now know that it's further wordsmithing, that we can make this green. We got the essence. We have some little bit of work to do, but we are fine otherwise.
I think we're right.
Okay. Okie doke. Then we got very close. Just to let you know is that we have in here. We go down to 33, so we got almost there, not quite, but we're going to go and look at the document, and I'm trying to see who can display that. I don't have it quite handy yet, but if I stop sharing, who would have that available from the team, an Excel team or Tricia Lee, to display that? So what we have been doing while that is being pulled up is that we started to populate the recommendation document in the format that and flow that we were looking for. We didn't have any documents to display. Okie-do. Let me see whether I can get to it in a quick fashion. Where is it?
Just wanted to show you the Word document we'll be working off of. Hans has done a great job of pulling this all together. We've got a nice introduction going with some use cases. And what we're trying to do is move away from the Google spreadsheet. Here you go, Hans. Just want to give you a quick view of what we've been doing.
Great, thank you.
We only have 2 minutes, Hans.
We'll go fast. So we're going to gently scroll down. So what you'll see in the document, we will have the introductions, the charge, the questions that are being asked, presenters, etc. So that should all be fairly straightforward. But then when we scroll down and we get to the introduction, that's where the content is going to start to come up. That's where keep on going to the introduction part. It's, I think, one or two pages further down. There we go. Recommendations and then introduction. So what we started to do in here is particularly pull from the spreadsheets our use cases and our the topics that we have discussed. So you should start to recognize the topic one topics and themes, and the topic two use cases. So we are introducing them here, defining them further, clarifying them. And then when you keep on going, so next after this, right there, themes and topics start to jump in. We're going to be using them to reference them in the recommendations. We did not organize the recommendations when you scroll down further. You will not see them organized by the questions that were raised, but more some of the topics that particularly in topic two, in one of the columns have to come up. And the way, if you can go back to this a little bit. So we'll start out with the recommendation. We are still referencing the original R123 from the spreadsheet, and we'll do that until the very last moment, so that as you review, you can go back to the spreadsheet and identify what our discussion was, what we had there, and then you will see it in here where we further modified. But if you need to go back, that's why we keep the R's in there as they were. If you can scroll down to just the end of this one, right
here. We're at the top of the hour, Hans, just wanted to let
you. Can you hold it right there? Is that that's where the references are linking it back to the spreadsheets, questions, use cases, and themes and topics. So that's how we're going to be organizing it. And that's where we're then looking for your feedback, and the homework assignments will come with that detail. So that's
Next week we're meeting again, so Hans might not be able to be with us. So, and also we are meeting with the High Tech on October 19th. So please join us on that day, and we should be finishing up our final recommendations. Sorry, Mike, we went over a minute, but I think we're ready to adjourn.
All right, thank you.
All right, no problem. Thanks, everybody.